Well, please be seated this morning and turn just one book over in your Bibles to the right, to the book of Proverbs. And for this morning, for the second week, we find ourselves in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 11. And by the way, if you need a Bible this morning, if you pick up one of the pew Bibles and you turn to page 645, you will find Proverbs 6, 6 through 11. This morning, I very much sense the privilege that I have to preach God's Word to you. And it's my aim to continue to place before you two directions, two lifestyles. There is on the one hand the path of diligence, and there is on the other the lazy way. And two different people who represent those paths: the hard worker versus the sluggard, the sloth, the couch potato, the perpetual loafer. The low road of laziness says, take it easy, right? Slow down, relax, don't work so hard. You deserve a break today. We got a magazine in the mail, and I was clearing off my table last night, and I flipped it over, and there was the message of the world. Love yourself in 2017. That's what it said. Love yourself, a model blowing a kiss. Love yourself. It's the path of least resistance. Slow down. You want to have a heart attack? Take it easy. It's the student who calculates on the first day of class, what is the minimum amount of work that I need to do to pass this course? It's the employee who figures out the least possible work that needs to be done to still keep the job. And we've all known people like that. And I hope you're not one of them. But if you are, I offer in Christ this morning the hope of change, the hope of transformation, a turning from laziness and sloth. There is path number one, diligence. There is path number two, the sluggard's way. No enthusiasm, little effort. The folks, you know them, who live for the weekend. They watch the clock. They plan trips and leisure activities and long for retirement and always sleep, more sleep. They're not concerned for the labor involved in doing an excellent job. Their focus is, how much vacation time do I get? How many benefits? How much time off? How many holidays? How different is the path of diligence? Now, I think we can say up front, yeah, it is the more difficult path, at least initially, though I want to talk about that later. It is the way of hard work. It is the way of persistence, of diligence, of sacrifice, of commitment, of concentration, of effort and thoroughness and excellence. And at times, maybe often, it'll mean getting up early. It'll include, no doubt, staying up late. It means perspiration and perseverance, showing up on time and giving 8 hours of work for 8 hours of pay. It certainly does include doing what you're told and what is expected and what is required, but it is more. It goes beyond with passion and with excellence, not taking shortcuts, refusing to compromise, a long obedience in the right direction. That's diligence. It's not always glamorous. Rarely is it. But it is, when done to the glory of God, I promise you, it is the way of satisfaction, and it is the way of productivity and accomplishment and fulfillment and fruitfulness and honor. It is then Christ's way for us this morning. Now, in our sinfulness, we all want the easy path, but God's word holds up for us this morning a better way. And so I say to you for a second week, be diligent, not lazy, in 2017. And let's see this together. Our passage for a second week, Proverbs 6, 6 through 11. And here's what Solomon writes. Go to the ant, O sluggard. Observe her ways and be wise. Which, having no chief officer or ruler, prepares her food in the summer and gathers her provision in the harvest. How long will you lie down, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and your poverty will come in like a vagabond, and your need like an armed man. Now, last week, the message was more heavily weighted toward looking at laziness. Here's the problem. Here's the negative. What we don't want to choose based on our passage. What we don't want to be as we live for the Lord Jesus. This morning, I want to show the other side. I want to show the positive side. The same passage, but restated in terms of diligence. And that's more the focus for this morning, though it will continue to mean drawing the contrast, of course, with laziness like last week. So let's get started. And I begin with a question, letter A. Notice, how does the book of Proverbs instruct us in the pathway of diligent living? That's the question for this morning. Let's look to Proverbs from the wisest man who ever lived in the Old Testament before Jesus. How does the book of Proverbs instruct us in the pathway of diligent living? And the first answer is, point one, notice, pursue wisdom. Pursue wisdom that you may be diligent. And I hope, if nothing else, that you'll come away from our studies in the book of Proverbs with a longing for wisdom. You need wisdom for the way of diligence. Look at letter A. Observe and be wise. That's what verse 6 says. Go to the ant, O sluggard. Observe her ways and be wise. Open your eyes, learn, be wise. Are you wise? Would others characterize you as wise? Well, I don't know. What does that mean? And I defined wisdom last week as skillful living. And if you didn't write that down, write that down. Skillful living. It's navigating through life capably, proficiently, even expertly, to the glory of God. And Proverbs offers that to us and calls us again and again. I've seen this with Donna and the kids through the years. Calls us again and again to seek wisdom, to prize wisdom, to pursue it like gold and silver and the choicest of rubies. And we know what that's like. We live in California and we know our history. And we know that with the gold rush, people came from around the globe to our state to dig up a yellow metal. And Proverbs says, prize wisdom beyond that. People gave up their lives as they were in various states and parts of the world, and they just transplanted in that search for gold. And Solomon says, I've got something better for you. Seek it. Wisdom. Well, how do you get such wisdom? Letter B. Wisdom comes through the fear of the Lord. And I want to read really the central verse of the book. It's Proverbs 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. That is a key theme verse of Proverbs. And so we ask ourselves, well, what is the fear of the Lord? And I think it's fair to say that it is a reverence, and it is an awe of God, where we wonder at Him, we marvel over Him, where we, as a result, worship Him as Lord and Creator. He is great and glorious, and I see by comparison that I'm puny and I'm sinful. And we can take encouragement to know that God's Word produces the very fear of the Lord that He requires of us, Psalm 19, verse 9. Now, what does the fear of the Lord look like? Listen to Psalm 99, 1 to 3. The Lord reigns. Let the peoples tremble. He is enthroned above the cherubim. Let the earth shake. The Lord is great in Zion, and He is exalted above all the peoples. Let them praise your great and awesome name. Holy is He. Now, the first thing we want to say is, when we talk about the fear of the Lord, with God as our Father through Christ, we do not have that cringing fear toward God as His children, as though He would somehow cast us into hell. No, we know the gospel. We know that we're forgiven. We know that we're adopted. We know that we're loved. And 1 John 4, verse 18 says, perfect love casts out such fear, the fear of that kind of punishment. But we do have a healthy fear of our Holy Father, don't we? That in His love, He will chasten us. He will do whatever it takes to make us holy like He is. And so I refer you to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 11, and also 1 Peter 1, verses 14 to 17. The fear of the Lord is a life that is God-centered, a life that is oriented around the Lord and His priorities. And as a result, I hate what He hates and I love what He loves. And I seek to please Him in everything and live His way. Wisdom, then, begins with God the Lord. It has Him always at the center. And as a result, we will live skillfully. Now, can we be even more specific? And we say, yes, letter C. Notice, the Lord Jesus became to us wisdom from God, 1 Corinthians 1:30. And in Him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, Colossians 2:2-3. And so as our students learned at camp, and students, I'm plugging right back into that, the Lord Jesus is the wisdom of God. And the wise life is the Christ-centered life. It is the life of one who has repented and believed in the Lord Jesus. It is a life of discipleship, of fellowship to Christ the Lord and Master. It is a submission to Christ of your whole life. It is a gospel-saturated life. It is a life of dependence. It is a life of faith in Jesus. You know, recently I was reading through my Bible, and I've studied and even taught on Galatians 2:20, but it really struck me again as I was meditating on that passage. And Paul says, you know, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered Himself up for me. And in some ways, Paul always makes you think and sometimes even scratch your head, right? Because he starts off and he says, I've been crucified with Christ. I died. It is no longer I who live. And then he talks about, but the life that I now live. Wait a minute, I thought you died. But then now you're living. And how do I understand this? And I think that we can say, when you were saved, you did die, the old person apart from Christ, living for yourself, living in the lust of your flesh, dead in your trespasses and sins. Paul striving to please God by obeying the law. That guy died. In fact, he says in Romans 7 that he found that sin actually worked through the law, and the law was used by sin to stir up more sin. So he realized that was not the pathway of salvation. So that he got to the point where he realized that all of that had to be thrust aside. And he says, more than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. He says, I've suffered the loss of all things. They're all just rubbish. Now, you know what really struck me this time as I was thinking through Galatians 2:20? Paul says, the old Paul has died. The life which I now live, how does he talk about it? I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. But listen, Christ lives in me. And that struck me because what Paul is saying is, if you're going to talk about me, Paul, you can't talk about me apart from my union with Jesus Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but you know what? Christ lives in me. So brothers and sisters, if we're going to talk about Christ, the wisdom from God, in Him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, then I remind you that this is a gospel-centered life where if you're going to talk about you, if you're going to talk about me, it is us in Christ. That's who we are. United with Him in His death and burial and resurrection. And how do we live now? We live by faith in the Son of God. It is a day-by-day and moment-by-moment trust and dependence in the One who loved me and delivered Himself up for me. Don't miss that. Amen. Now next, how does Proverbs instruct us in diligence? Point two. It tells us, be self-directed in diligence under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And I added that parenthesis because when you say self-directed, it's so easy to misunderstand that, right? Be self-directed. Be self-motivated. Well, in the sense that you are internally motivated by God's word and the truths of Scripture and gospel motivation. Self-motivated in that sense. That I've internalized the Scriptures and they're in my heart and the convictions of Scripture hold you and motivate you and propel you. So self-motivated in that sense under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And so in Proverbs chapter 6, notice again verse 7, the ant which having no chief or officer or ruler prepares her food in the summer. There is, by Solomon's teaching here, this example of the ant. Go, watch, learn, follow, self-directed. And it struck me again as I was thinking about 2 Timothy 3:17, that promise that all Scripture is profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for what? Every good work. There is nothing that God has called you to be or do that He hasn't also taught you to be and do and enabled you to be and do through the Word of God. And then as a result, as we internalize the Scriptures and under the Lordship of Jesus Christ, then there will be that initiative, that self-initiative, that self-guided organization of your life and work, rather than having to be told continually what to do. Then there is that self-direction under Christ. And so I say to you again for 2017, don't be a dabbler in this new year. Don't be unfocused, puttering around. When that alarm goes off in the morning, you know what I've learned to do? Get out of bed and get on the floor. Because I never know what's going to come out of my heart apart from dependence on Jesus Christ. And so a commitment to the Lord. Everything for that day under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And when we remember who He is, then there is a motivation at that point. There is a direction. There is a propelling. Because I realize Ephesians 1, all things are being summed up in Christ. And so my purpose is Jesus Christ. And I head off to my day because I remember that whether I eat or drink or whatever I do, I'm to do it to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Be self-directed in diligence under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Get into the Word in this new year. Go deep there. Meet with the Lord through His Word, and He will stir you. And you will be moved, and you will be propelled. Your direction comes from Christ and His Word and your life under His Lordship. Are you there this morning? In everything? Under the Lordship of Jesus Christ? Now next, how does Proverbs instruct us in the way of diligence? Number three, it tells us, make the most of your opportunities for diligence. Look at verse 8. The ant prepares her food in the summer and gathers her provision in the harvest. Don't lie there. Don't sit there. Don't just roll over. Get up and work for God. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all of your might, says Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. Use your strength and abilities and intelligence and training, all that God has given to you for the glory of Jesus Christ. And so in chapter 10, verses 4 and 5, we read, "Poor is he who works with a negligent hand, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. He who gathers in summer is a son who acts wisely, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who acts shamefully." So there are seasons and times to act. And I want to remind us of Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. Where Paul says, "Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise." Listen, making the most of your time because the days are evil. The days are actively opposed to us as Christians. So make the most of your opportunities, he says, literally. As they come along, buy them up. Make the most of your opportunities for diligence. And so this morning I say to you, you have two hands. Use them in this new year to the glory of God. You have two feet. Don't sit on the sidelines, but get in the race. You have a brain. Use that to think and plan and move ahead for the Lord Jesus Christ. to work and build and honor him. Now next, what does Proverbs instruct us in the way of diligence? Look at point number 4. For the sake of diligence, sleep to live, don't live to sleep. And I remind you, not only of the passage that we've looked at in 6:9, how long will you lie down, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? And Solomon also says in chapter 20, verse 13, do not love sleep, lest you become poor. Open your eyes, and you will be satisfied with food. Now the sluggard, the alarm goes off, he rolls over, he shuts it off, puts the pillow over his head, sleeps his life away. And the challenge for us in this new year, do not fritter your life away. It can be through so many things. The binge watching, Facebook, social media, endless memes, procrastination, staying in bed, avoiding responsibility. It doesn't matter, does it, whether I go to work or school? Yes, it does. You've been bought with a price to glorify God in your body, says 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. Now let's understand this morning about sleep and rest and relaxation. They are good gifts from God in their place, and praise God for them. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, God has richly supplied us with all things to enjoy. But sleep, breaks, vacations, they're meant to refresh. They're meant to strengthen and undergird us with all of the hard labors and the tasks of our lives. Praise God, we're coming off of Christmas break and into the new year. But don't make them an end in themselves. May they be an opportunity to unstring the bow so that you get back to work and back to the task with all of your might. Now next, to take the way of diligence, Proverbs tells us next, number 5, notice, humbly receive the exhortations and confrontations of Scripture and from others that you might be diligent. Let me see it again with you in chapter 6, verse 9. Notice how Solomon addresses the sluggard. What does he need? How long will you lie down, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? The need is confrontation. The need is exhortation. And how we need the reproof of Scripture, like you see in chapter 6, verse 9. And how we need people who will bring it to us, like Solomon does here. And so in this new year, I say to you again, listen to Scripture. And listen to others in your life. They will help you. They will be your allies. Welcome their reproof. Welcome them to speak into your life and the confrontation that they will bring. The reproof of Scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is God-breathed and profitable for, say it with me, teaching, reproof, correction, training in righteousness. Welcome the ministry of the Word in your life and those, Proverbs 27, verse 6, who will even wound you as need be because they love you and they'll speak truth to you. Next, notice point number 6. And we talked a lot about this last week. Reject the rationalizations, self-justifications, excuses, and subtle compromises that undermine diligence and that bring eventual disaster. Look at chapter 6, verses 10 and 11 again. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and your poverty will come in like a vagabond and your need like an armed man. Just a little sleep, just one reset, then two, then you turn off the alarm. Just one bite of cake, then a slice, then two, then a little ice cream, then a half gallon. Oh, you don't know what that's like, do you? No one here. We all do. We all know it. Just 15 minutes of TV, just a little break, turns into 2 hours or maybe the evening. So I ask you, in light of what we've talked about last week and again as I bring it to you this morning, think through your life. How are you justifying? How are you rationalizing? How are you making excuses that undermine diligence in your life? The compromises address them, or they will bring, says Proverbs, eventual disaster. In chapter 10, verse 4, poor is he who works with a negligent hand, but the hand of the diligent makes rest. Now turn over with me. I want you to see a really graphic depiction of this. Chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24, nearly the end of the book. There's 31 chapters total. And I want you to see this depiction of this in chapter 24, verses 30 to 34. And we have another account, and these are precious accounts in the book of Proverbs, where Solomon takes us under his wing and says, learn with me. Let me tell you what I've seen. Observe with me. Come alongside of me so I can instruct you. I passed by the field of the sluggard and by the vineyard of the man lacking sense. And behold, it was completely overgrown with thistles. Its surface was covered with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down. When I saw, I reflected upon it. I looked and received instruction. How did that happen? Oh, verse 33. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Then your poverty will come as a robber and your want like an armed man. A heart, a wicked heart that will hijack the mind, will bring the rationalizations that will justify the actions, and eventually, as we saw last week, I say to you again, will bring disaster. Now, in the New Testament, Paul is so serious about this issue that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, starting at verse 6, he addresses it. Listen to this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, starting at verse 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep aloof from every brother who leads an unruly life and not according to the tradition which you receive from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example, because we did not act in an undisciplined manner among you, nor did we eat anyone's food, no one's bread, without paying for it. But listen, but with labor and hardship, we kept working night and day so that we might not be a burden to any of you. Would you call Paul a diligent worker, a diligent man for Christ? I mean, it's so obvious, right? Working night and day. Not because we do not have a right to this. He tells us that in 1 Corinthians 9. Not because we do not have a right to this, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you, that you might follow our example. For even when we were with you, we used to give you this order. Listen to this. This is pretty blunt and to the point. If anyone will not work, neither let him what? Eat. If anyone will not work, neither let him eat. For we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies. Now such persons we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ to work in quiet fashion and eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary of doing good. And if anyone does not obey our instruction in this letter, take special note of that man and do not associate with him, so that he may be put to shame, and yet do not regard him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Pretty serious, don't you agree? In other words, God expects this of us, that as his children, we're hard workers, we're diligent, we're laborers. So I say to you, again, reject the rationalizations, the self-justifications, the excuses, the subtle compromises that undermine diligence and that bring eventual disaster. Now next, to take the way of diligence, Proverbs instructs us, notice point number 7, be diligent that others can entrust you with more leadership and responsibility. Did you see that? Do you see what will happen in time as you live for the Lord Jesus in this area and as the gospel is transforming you? Turn over with me to Proverbs chapter 12 now, verse 24. Because this is fascinating. Solomon nails it. He says, the hand of the diligent will what? Will rule. Did you see that? But the slack hand will be put to forced labor. Those who work hard work themselves into increasing leadership rule here. They are entrusted with more and more responsibility because of their trustworthy and exemplary and excellent work in life. But notice the slack hand, the lazy person who is not internally motivated has to be externally motivated. He is actually forced to work. And over in chapter 10, verse 26, again, Solomon just nails this down for us. He says, like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the lazy one to those who send him. The sluggard is so unreliable and so undependable. But as you grow in this area and diligently labor for Jesus Christ, you will find over time increased leadership and responsibility that God will entrust to you. You follow Christ in this, and you will shine in your workplace. You will shine in your classroom as a student. You will shine like Joseph and Daniel in the Old Testament. No more leadership. You'll be the one trusted with the tough assignment. You'll be the one training and leading others, and more opportunity for impact for the kingdom on other people. And I do say, in the ministry of this church, that we, as your brothers and sisters, we need you, and we need your diligence in ministry, and we need your excellence, and that you take up the plow for the work of the ministry of PVBC, your hard work with the responsibilities of service and ministry. So often the thankless tasks. And I remind you this morning of 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. Sorry, chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks, let him speak as it were the utterances of God. Whoever serves, let him do so by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And so I say to you in 2017, serve and work hard to build the body. And if you're not engaged here, then become active and involved and plug in. And next, as we move on, Proverbs instructs us, notice point number 8, to be diligent, quickly begin your work, labor with excellence, and finish your tasks. And let me just show you this now, our last point before we move to the motivation this morning. And I think you would agree with me, with an assignment or a job or a paper in school or whatever the task, the challenge is get to it. Don't procrastinate. The sluggard you see in Proverbs, he won't begin. He won't begin. And so Proverbs chapter 14, verse 23, Solomon makes this very clear. In all labor there is profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. You know those folks? The job is needing to get done, and they show up, and man, they are just full of words, and they love to talk, but not to work. And so Solomon reminds us, in all labor there is profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. Begin and start in chapter 20, verse 4. He says, the sluggard does not plow after the autumn, so he begs during the harvest and has nothing. He should plow. He doesn't. He won't start, so he begs later. And so listen, I want to say it again. Often the hardest step in life is the first one, isn't it? How many times when I had to write the 20 or 30 pager in seminary, it's that first page, even that first paragraph. And once you got that going, and once you got that rolling, the rest of it, though it was hard work, it followed. So begin, I say to you, begin and be excellent. In chapter 18, verse 9, he who is slack in his work is brother to him who destroys. Have you ever noticed that about shoddy work? It has to be redone, doesn't it? It has to be redone. And if it was worth being done two times, then it was worth being done the right way the first time. And over in chapter 21, verse 5, again, Solomon instructs us so wisely and relevantly. He says, "The plans of the diligent lead surely to advantage, but everyone who is hasty comes surely to poverty." So there is this excellence that requires planning and carefulness, not rushing to finish just so you can be done and get on to the things that you want to do. And then in chapter 22, verse 29, again, Proverbs speaks, "Do you see a man skilled in his work? He will stand before kings." Did you hear that? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men. In other words, excellence will be noticed. It will be esteemed. It will be rewarded. And so I say to you, quickly begin your work and labor with excellence and finish your tasks. In chapter 12, verse 27, again, we see the ridiculousness of the sluggard's life. We read, "A slothful man does not roast his prey, but the precious possession of a man is diligence." So we get the picture. He goes out, he hunts, he catches the prey, but because he's so lazy, he won't even be bothered to cook it. He just lets it sit there and rot. He doesn't finish. He doesn't care. So what's the result? Chapter 13, verse 4, "The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the soul of the diligent is made fat." What a promise. The work of the diligent gets results. Now the sluggard, he craves the fruit of diligence, but he won't do the work to get it. And to expect the blessing without the diligence is delusion. Okay, so we've seen the two ways, the two lifestyles last week, this week. They're both there in Proverbs, diligence versus laziness. Diligence, I say it again, it seems like the hard road, doesn't it? Initially, maybe even for us, an intimidating path. Okay, I see I need to change and I want to press on, but that's intimidating. Laziness looks like the easy path initially, but I say to you this morning, it is the harder way. And God's word makes that clear. The path of laziness is the harder way. The results are eventual disaster and collapse and poverty and loss of jobs, someone who can't be trusted, someone who won't be hired. A life that does not honor the Lord. Choose diligence. Now what I always ask, and this is what I want to ask with you, it's a crucial question. Okay, I get it. But what do I do? How do I respond to that? And so I want to answer that. Letter B. What is the motivation for diligence? What is it? I want to do that. And I find often that I don't have that. I find I am the sluggard. I am lazy. I do have the wandering life that is not counting for Christ. So what do I do? What's my motivation, you ask? And I want to end with three passages and then a final challenge. So turn over with me, please, to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verses 22 to 24. And I have found myself in my work and my life so many times going back right here. And I hope that this will stir you and encourage you and give new significance to whatever the task, whatever the responsibility. Whether you're a student, whether you're still in the most productive years of your work life, whether you're retired and therefore redeployed. Wherever you are this morning, this is such an amazing passage that gives a new significance to all that we do in our lives. And you remember how Paul says, "Slaves, in all things, obey those who are your masters on earth." Not with external service, right? Not just when the boss is looking, right? As those who merely please men. No, that's not acceptable as a standard for us as Christians. but with sincerity of heart. And notice what he says. It takes us right back to Proverbs and the theme of Proverbs. But with sincerity of heart, what? Fearing the Lord. Did you see that? And then to make it even more specific, whatever you do, do your work heartily, as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. There's my motivation. What am I doing with this? I am serving Jesus Christ. I am looking past my boss. I'm looking over his shoulder or her shoulder. I'm looking past my teacher for this paper, and why am I writing it? Or why am I laboring so hard? Or what am I committed to in my redeployment of retirement? I am committed to this. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. There is then that consolation that I only have to please the Lord. There is that encouragement and that exhortation and that stirring. I do want to and have to please the Lord. And he sees my heart. And he sees what no one else sees. And so out of gratitude, because I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Well, now the life which I live in the flesh here on this earth, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered himself up for me. So I go to work, and it's for Jesus Christ. It's not for the boss. It's not for when he's there and when he's not there, or when she sees or doesn't see, or anybody else that's looking over my shoulder. I'm doing this for the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, verse 23, I do my work heartily as for the Lord rather than men. And then there's another passage, and I want you to see it. And it's been a little bit of time, but Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 5 through 8. Slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in the sincerity of your heart. Three key words again. As to Christ. Did you see that? As to Christ. Not by way of eye service as men pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will render service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good thing each one does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether slave or free. That means then, no matter what my activity is, no matter how much it would appear to be mundane, laborious, endless, pointless, perhaps, if you weren't seeing it from this perspective, but no, now it has a new significance, because I'm doing this as a slave of Christ. I do this as to Christ, as to the Lord, not to men, for his commendation, and ultimately, no other. And then one other passage I want you to see. It's in Romans chapter 12. And that is, no matter what I do, I want to be motivated and stirred up by the gospel. And so when we come to Romans chapter 12, Paul transitions into that very practical section of the epistle. Just like Ephesians 1 to 3, here's the foundation. Ephesians 4 to 6, here's the practical application. Well, Paul's now moving to practical application in Romans chapter 12. And I love this, because this is what I need. I need to know why. I need to be motivated rightly, and I need to be motivated by the gospel. And so notice how Paul starts in Romans 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, in light of everything I've said to you about God's goodness to you in Jesus Christ, all that he's done in redeeming you and reconciling you to himself and declaring you righteous and bringing you into a relationship of peace with God and empowerment over sin and adoption and knowing his eternal counsels and his plan that in the end you would be glorified. In light of all of that, I urge you by God's mercy, now live it out. Verse 1, present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And then drop down to verse 11. Start at verse 10. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. And here it is, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, and one more time, serving the Lord. Not lagging behind in diligence. It has the idea of diligence here of activity, of eagerness, of striving, of quick movement in the interests of a person or cause. And that person is Christ. Be diligent for Him. And so I say to you in 2017, with that as your motivation, do lots of work for Christ. For Christ. And do it passionately. Fervent in spirit there in verse 11. The Greek word has the idea of boiling, to well up and bubble, to boil with heat. So it's not just that I do what I do, but that I do it with the right motivation and the right attitude. In other words, that I am boiling passionately in my service of Jesus Christ. Don't grow cold on behalf of the Lord Jesus. Don't grow lazy in the work of the Lord. And so I challenge you in 2017 to be hot and boiling and passionate and to abound for Christ, diligent, zealous, serving the Lord. And as we close, I want to make a final application and I want to ask you to bow your heads with me. Just go ahead and bow your heads. As we look ahead to this new year, in light of this path of diligence, I want you to think, between you and the Lord right now, what is it you know that you need to do this week in your walk with Jesus Christ? What is it you know you need to do this week in your walk with Christ? In other words, what is undone in your life and what needs to be done? And here's what I want to ask you to do. Write it down. Maybe you don't want to write it now. Write it down when you get out of here, or put it in your phone or wherever you make that notation. Write it down. This is what I know I need to do this week in my walk with Christ. And whatever that is, and you know what it is, it's coming to mind right now. I want to ask you to pray over that right now. Pray over it. And I want to read for you as you're praying Proverbs chapter 16. Verse 3, commit your works to the Lord and your plans will be established. So there is on your part then an identification of what it is and then a humble yielding of that to the Lord, a yielding to Him in commitment that trusts God, that entrusts your plans to Him, that calls on Him to empower you and enable you. It is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make your paths straight. And then plan it and schedule it and do it. Work hard. Work diligently to the glory of Christ. And I close with some final promises and then we pray as we end. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. Galatians 6:9. For God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward His name, in having ministered and in still ministering to the saints. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Our Father in heaven, thank you. What a privilege to have your word wash over our minds, to have your word wash over our hearts, to have your word speak so relevantly, so clearly to us, so specifically, to remind us that we are new creatures in Christ, that we've been bought with a price to now glorify you in our bodies, and we have this delightful task and privilege of serving one so great as the Lord Jesus Christ. living for Him above any other, and joining you in your work as you sum up all things in your Son, so that we are in this great work of exalting Jesus the Lord. And that drives and motivates and encourages us in everything, Father, that gospel motivation to live for the glory of Jesus Christ, to follow the Lord Jesus and have His lordship permeating and invading and taking over every area of our lives. And as a result, Father, with that motivation and that stirring to the glory of Christ, may we go out and may we be active people and fruitful people and hardworking people and productive people. And all this as Jesus is before us, the author and perfecter of our faith, in whose name we pray. Amen.